We'd like to welcome those of you who have joined us tonight, Vine Grove Baptist Church, for our Sunday evening Bible study, Worthy is the Lamb. Hope and pray you've joined to worship with us in spirit and in truth. Now, tonight we're going to be looking at chapter 13. Steve, you got everything, chapter 12? Did you get it all figured out? Okay. On chapter 13. Chapter 13, we're going to be looking at false gods, counterfeit gods. And why, when I mentioned that this morning, I want you to understand why we're doing this. When I stand up and teach and preach and let you know that, look, folks, during the tribulation period, we're not there. And so many people say, well, why am I even studying this stuff? Because exactly what is going on in chapter 13 is going on today. So everything that is going on throughout the book of Revelation and throughout the scripture, there is no timeline on it. It doesn't mean that we're going to wait and this stuff takes place at that particular time in history at the second coming of Christ or when Christ says, that's enough, that's enough. No. This continually has been going on, and I'll show you that in Scripture in a moment. This has been going on for the thousands of years that we have been in existence. And it is God's way of saying these things will come about. Now, at some point on God's time scale, the end time focus that we look at in Revelation, you will have the ultimate Antichrist. You will have the ultimate false prophet. But prior to that, you'll have multitude of Antichrist and false prophets. Do you believe we have false prophets today? Sure. We have Antichrist today. I'll show you that in the scripture tonight too. Yes, we do. And let us look at counterfeit gods. Remember that Revelation is a book about worshiping God. It's the unveiling of who God is. Revelation means to reveal, to unveil, to unmask. Many people will say, you know, it is so spooky and dark in there. No, it's not. Open your eyes and look around you. As we teach and as we study, we will see Revelation, what is in the book of Revelation, playing out in our everyday lives. And with the everyday people that we meet, you will see everything that is going on, and we're going to look at that in chapter 13. But Revelation 13 is the warning chapter about worshiping Satan or counterfeit false worship. It's a warning not to get caught up in this. Don't forget, if you understand the differences between the following three concepts of prophetic study, then you'll understand how to read and study Revelation. Concept number one is prophetic revelation, what God has clearly said. Thus saith the Lord thy God. Here it is. That's prophetic revelation. Number two is prophetic interpretation. It's for 2,000 years of historic, broadly held opinions about what God has said. Now, you can even go back further than the 2,000 years. You can go back, let's say, 6,000 to 7,000 years of recorded history that we would have, let's say. You go back into the ancient times, and then you will still have that prophetic interpretation. 2,000 years of historic, broadly held opinions about what God said. Now, it's not just, now, what did God say? Well, that was with the prophetic revelation, thus saith the Lord thy God. For 2,000 years then, people have picked up on this. This is what God has said. This is what's brought into our New Testament era. Number three is the prophetic speculation. Those are personal ideas about present possibilities. Now remember, you really can use all three of these and still remain faithful to the Scripture. See, your opinion is as important as mine. Your opinion is just as important as mine. I believe that God is working with me this way. Okay? You can tell me, Julie can say, I believe God is working with me in that same scripture, Brother Larry, this way. Okay? Does that make me right and her wrong? Makes both of us right. That's how God does this. So as we're interpreting or as we're looking through scripture, it's okay to have how you feel. If you start blocking out the revelation that the Holy Spirit gives you in your feelings, in your mind, then you're shutting out the touch of God. Don't do that. That would make you dependent on some weird preacher somewhere or teacher somewhere, and that would make you susceptible to false doctrine. When I accepted Jesus Christ, and Gene, when you accepted Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, as your life, just like all the rest of us, the Holy Spirit said that he would speak to us. Jesus says, I will send my spirit, and I will speak to you directly. I believe that. I know that. You believe that. You know that. Okay? Just because the Lord tells you to do one thing and me to do something else doesn't make either of us wrong. If we will do what he says, it makes all of us right. So you can do all of this, believe all of these, and still be true to the scripture. But here's where we need to watch. Revelation 13 on page 2. Revelation 13 talks about two beasts. A beast out of the sea and a beast out of the earth. First of all, let's get this straight. These beasts are metaphorical terms. These beasts are shown to us to show the ugliness of Antichrist, the ugliness of evil, the ugliness of hate. How, do you really think all these people are going to fall at the feet and say of a beast and say, "Man, you're the greatest thing," when they look like Freddy Krueger, or you know, or one of those monster deals riding around? All of these people saying, "Yay to the beast! Hooray for the beast!" No, we're not. We're going to go get our guns and we're going beast hunting if something like that comes. So that's not what we're talking about. That'll have to be edited, won't it? Gosh. All right, leave it in there. Okay. Here's what we need to focus on and look at and think about. God gives us, did he not give us all a mind? Now, we might be halfway out of it right now, but he gave us a brain. He did not give all of us a spirit. If he gave us a mind, a spirit, and a body, did he give it to us not to do anything with or to use it? And use it in our conversations and connection with him. When it talks about the two beasts, a beast out of the sea and a beast out of the earth. The beast out of the sea is the Antichrist. I got that on yours too, right? Okay, thank you. Revelation 13, 1 through 4. And the dragon stood on the shore of the sea. And I saw a beast coming out of the sea. He had 10 horns and 7 heads, 10 crowns on his horns, and on each head a blasphemous name. The beast I saw resembled a leopard, but had feet like those of a bear, and a mouth like that of a lion. The dragon gave the beast his power and his throne and great authority. One of the heads of the beast seemed to have had a fatal wound, but the fatal wound had been healed. The whole world was astonished and followed the beast. Men worshiped the dragon, because he had given authority to the beast. And they also worshiped the beast and asked, "Who is like the beast? Who can make war against him?" Now, does that really sound like they're looking at these ugly monsters? No. That sounds like they're looking at something that looks amazing. resembles the amazing part, angelic. Let's do it that way. Looking awesome, godly, false godly. They're doing this, and then they say, and they also worship the beast and ask, who is like the beast? Who can make war against him? Who do these descriptions of the beast, what do these descriptions of the beast mean? There are three interpretations Christians have talked about for the 2,000 years. Interpretation number one. This is just the government of Rome in the day this was written. Interpretation number two. This is about any power in any age that sets itself up as anti-God in the world. Interpretation number three. The great final ruler of the world. Okay. Once again, you can really believe all three and still remain faithful to the scriptures. I don't have any trouble with all three of them. Okay. Because we're dealing with a continual false god worship from generation to generation. It's continual from generation to generation. In our generation, we see the very same thing, do we not? People following after the shinier the light, the more they'll follow it. Page three. The point is that you can't limit this beast to the past or to the future. The same beast is described in Daniel 7:3. Exactly the same beast. Listen. Four great beasts, each different than the others, came up out of the sea. The first was like a lion. There was a second beast, looked like a bear. There was another beast, it looked like a leopard. Same description. Thousands of years differences and all in the same description. Evil has always, always hid itself in the light. It has hid itself in something that is good. The beast is obviously a world ruler. But what kind of a world ruler is he? He's a political leader. Oh. Well, I did tell you that they were deceitful, didn't I? Okay. A political leader that rules through intimidation. And the world's response is to follow his lead. Well, that lets you know that's not our president, because ain't nobody following him. This is the story of the Antichrist, this false counterfeit God. Okay, 1 John 2:18. Dear children, this is John the Beloved. This 1 John and the Gospel of John and Revelation, this is the same penman, the Holy Spirit. This is the same John of Revelation. Now, dear children, this is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, then listen to him. Even now, many Antichrists have come. This is how we will know it is the last hour. A thousand years is as a day is as a thousand years to the Lord. The last hour, meaning we're in the age of the... Now, let me stop there a second. You keep hearing me say this. How do I know that this age, the church age, is the last age on planet Earth? I'm not saying it's the last age of existence. I'm saying it's the last age on planet Earth. It's the church age. How would I know that? Because all of the ages prior to it, Christ did not come. The church age is the only age that is scriptural, to where Christ, when he comes, he's coming for the second and final time here on this rock called Earth. Okay? So we know, and he says he's calling an end to it. He's going to destroy the earth. And then he is going to call down a new heaven and a new earth. And people say, well, now see there, now he's calling down a new heaven where God is. No, I'm talking about the two heavens that we talked about in an earlier study. I'm talking about the atmosphere. I'm talking about the where all the planets are, the stratosphere. I'm talking about all of that. Nobody's messing with God's abode. The heaven where God lives, where we are, ain't nobody messing with us there because we're in our Father's home. Okay, we got it? Now, each of us then need to understand that throughout history, all of these things have happened before. Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. What has been will be again. There's nothing new under the sun. What is was before. 1 John 2:22. Who is the liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. So anyone who denies that Jesus is Christ is the Antichrist. You got that? In generation to generation. That's Antichrist. 1 John 4:3. But every spirit that does... I just said this, but here's the scripture. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. Well, God sent me to give you a message. But now Jesus is not God incarnate. He is not the Son of God. Do not mess with people like that. Stay away from them. The scripture says they are liars. They are the Antichrist. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. You catching it? That's why you see people have the spirit of the Antichrist. Which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. 2 John 2:7. Many deceivers, who's a deceiver? Those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the Antichrist. To be an Antichrist is to be an Antichrist. Now, what we look at so often in Revelation is the final big dude Antichrist, the big shot Antichrist. But we forget, and because we're looking for the big bad dude Antichrist and the big bad dude false prophet, because we're looking there, we are deceived by the other Antichrists that are already around us. How many people try to pull you away? You think of that. How many people try to pull you away from God's house, from the truth of who Christ is? Those individuals are deceivers. They're Antichrist. Well, there's another way. You don't have to worry about this guy named Jesus. For one thing, no, there's not another way. And you're right about this. I don't have to worry about this man Jesus because he's my Savior. But when you start messing with me to try to pull me away from him, you don't want to better worry. Because he's very, very protective of his children. Well, I don't even believe in him. What's that got to do with you getting squished like a bug? Just because you don't believe in him. I don't believe that bulldozer's coming at me. Well, stand there long enough, stupid, and you'll find out. That's a bulldozer, and you're not going to win. A little colorful, Webster. Page 4. Look at the actions of the beast. Revelation 13:5-8. The beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies and to exercise his authority for 42 months. That's 3.5 years. at the final half of the tribulation period. He opened his mouth to blaspheme God and to slander his name and his dwelling place and those who live in heaven. You know why they slander those who live in heaven? Because they don't get to be there. The greatest desire, you want to watch something. When somebody gets a new toy or whatever it is, and a jealous neighbor or whoever, they wish they had that toy, so what do? They down the toy. Well, that's a piece of junk anyway. I'm glad I didn't get it. I'm glad. Can I come over and touch that one of yours and sort of drive it? No, you can't. See, I didn't like it anyway. I didn't really want to do that. You see what I mean? That's people. He was given power to make war against the saints and to conquer them. Now, here we are at the end of the age. Here we are at the end of the 3.5 years of tribulation. Here we are witnessing the power that is given, the beast, the false prophet. Now the question is, why? Why would God allow them to have such power as you will see to even raise the dead? Why would he allow that? Why would he allow them the power to call fire down from heaven and phew, it comes down? Why would he allow that? The answer is, I don't have any idea. It's in the realm of God. That's what God... See, God said that he's going to give everybody an opportunity. And he's going to give them the opportunity to accept his son, Jesus. He's going to give them every opportunity to believe. But it's always been this way and always will be. What little bit of what you call, they will call power that they witness on this, the false prophet and the Antichrist, is nothing compared to the awesomeness of the ultimate power of Almighty God that comes at the end. Read the book. You will see. It comes at the end when God just says, that's enough. That's enough. Now, but what about all of these centuries? Why? Don't know. See, I'm getting up there in age, but I just wasn't there when they was writing the rules. And I wasn't invited in the ultimate circle of God during the time of it. And you know what Jesus said? Jesus said, I can't even tell you when the end is coming. Only the Father knows it. I don't even know it, he said. So why would we think that we should be able to figure it out or even attempt to? What we need to do is look at the warning signs of the Scripture for us for today and pay attention to that so we can get away from it and not be sucked into this foolishness. Well, do you mean that a Christian can fall prey to this? Yeah, that's exactly what I mean. I do not mean in saying that a Christian can lose their salvation. I'm saying a Christian can be tricked into this stuff. Do you not believe that? We can be tricked. I mean, you show me enough signs out there, I'm going to have to be in prayer, Lord. Did you see what they were doing? I mean, it looks to me like it only come from you. How will I know that it didn't? Because had it, God would have told me. People come up, and I've had this happen to me. You need to quit preaching, and you need to quit preaching now. Well, here's the problem. They didn't call me to preach. God did. And when God says, Larry, stop preaching, and stop preaching now, you know what? Larry will have stopped preaching and stopped preaching whenever he thought it would be over, but not man. Why would man want to stop preaching? Why would anyone want to stop the Word of God from going out? Why would there be a hindrance placed? When you're wanting to do good, the more good that you're wanting to do, the more hindrances you're going to find in your foot, in your path. The more you're wanting to do right, the more you stand up for what is right, the more anger that you're going to receive from individuals around you. Well, would you just leave it alone? Just leave it alone. We've done this way for years. Leave it alone. Can't leave it alone if it's not God's way, right? Okay. Look at the actions of the beast, Revelation 13, 5 through 8. The beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies and to exercise his authority. Did I read all that? Exercise authority for the 42 months. He opened his mouth to blaspheme God and to slander his name and his dwelling place and those that live in heaven. He was given power to make war against the saints and to conquer them. And he was given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation. All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast. All whose names, here you go, you got it, have not been written in the book of life belonging to the Lamb. All of them will fall and they will worship. Who did he exclude? Christians. Even during the final day, folks, there's always going to be a church for Christ. Right in the middle of all hell itself on earth, you will find the dedicated saints. Now, who are they called? Well, they're called saints in Scripture. You're a saint, too. They're called saints in Scripture, and because of that, we are protected. Why? Because our name's written in the book, right name. That name that God gives us have been written down. Okay. Belonging to the Lamb that was slain from the creation of the world. All right. Given a mouth to utter blasphemies for the 42 months, 3.5 years. There are three ideas on this. That's the reason I give you handouts so you can look at them later. Number one, just a number. Number two, it's symbolic of the time the church is persecuted. Number three, the last half of the tribulation period. That's one of the things that I've said to it. But also, remember, it's a symbolic number in many cases. When you're dealing with Scripture, remember what I've said in the sermons and all. Always count it as past, present, and future. There is no beginning to God's Word. There is no end to God's Word. There is no middle to God's Word. There's just God's Word, God's plan. And all of us are living through that from generation to generation. Same bad guy, Satan. Same God. Same Savior, Jesus Christ. Same problems. Same remedy. Same conclusion. Jesus wins. Jesus wins. Given power to make war against the saints, given authority over every nation. The people's reaction will be that they will worship the beast. Look at Jesus' instructions for the saints in Revelation 13, 9 and 10. He who has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is to go into captivity, he will go. If anyone is to be killed with the sword, he will be killed. This calls for patient endurance and faithfulness on the part of the saints. I will kill you with the sword unless you renounce the name of Jesus. We have witnessed it in the past few years. And those Christians refuse to renounce Christ, and they cut their heads off. Well, good gracious, folks, in the United States of America, you know all it would take? You know how to threaten to take your head off? Take your iPhones. No offense. Take your phones away. Take their video games. Oh, no, really? I'd rather lose my head than to lose the opportunity to do that. Think of that. Think of what's going on. For the beast that rules through intimidation, believers need patient endurance and faithfulness. What's the faithfulness? Faithful that God will take care of it, because you sure can't. The beast of the earth is the false prophet. That's page 5. Look at the descriptions of this beast. Revelation 13:11. Then I saw another beast coming out of the earth. He had two horns like the lamb, and he spoke like a dragon. Two horns like a lamb. That's Jesus Christ. Speaks like a dragon. That's Satan. The beast is a spiritual leader that rules through deception. Has the appearance of good or Christ, but has the heart of Satan. Covers over his evil look of a monster or the dragon and looks like an angel. You have a political leader who rules through intimidation, and you have a spiritual leader who rules through deception. Now look at the beast's action. Revelation 13:12-17. He exercised all the authority of the first beast on his behalf. And he made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast whose fatal wound had been healed. Well, he's dead and he was brought back to life. And the smoke and mirrors are in action. And he performed great and miraculous signs. An evil and perverse generation seeks after a sign. That's what Jesus was telling those people. The Lord, show us a sign and we'll believe you are who you say you are. An evil and perverse generation seeks after a sign, but no sign will be given to you other than that of Jonas and the great sea monster, or Jonah and the whale. And he performed great miraculous signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to earth in full view of men. Woo! Ain't that great? That's got to be from God. Wait a minute. If that's Jesus coming, if that's God's coming, he said that everyone would see him, and he did not need a light show to do it. For he is the light, and you will know it is him. He's not going to have all the smoke and stuff. Okay. Because of the signs he was given power to do on behalf of the first beast, he deceived the inhabitants of the earth. He ordered them to set up an image, in honor of the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. Do you see anywhere in Scripture where God says to put up an image? Does he not say, take them down? Do not bend your knee to any image. Why would anyone? Well, that's because they don't know Christ. But the Christian, this is where you get the key. You will know, whoa, I know the Scripture. And the Scripture says, don't fall before these images. And yet this man says, build them. Okay. He was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast so that it could speak and cause all who refused to worship the image to be killed. If you're to be killed with a sword, be killed with a sword. Got it? He also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead, so that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here we go. Page 6. Look at the depth of his deception. This is happening today, folks. And now it's not your social security number. It's not your chip on your credit card. It's not all of that garbage. This goes to the heart of the human race. This is the chip that's embedded in the heart of man that makes that man resist the truth of Christ. It's put there by Satan himself through deception. You believe that there's another way, and let's do all good things. Exercise the authority of the first beast, performs miraculous signs. Orders people to set up an image of the first beast. That doesn't sound like our God, does it? Orders everyone to receive a mark. I already got the mark right there in my heart, and you can't see it. You got one too. You even got a sweet name. If you can get people, here's the way it is. If you can get people politically, spiritually, religiously, and financially, you got them. Right? You got them. Okay. For the beast that rules through deception, believers need wisdom. Revelation 13, verse 18. This calls for wisdom. If anyone has insight, let him calculate the number of the beast, for it is man's number. His number is 666. Satan, Antichrist, and the false prophet. Here we go. A counterfeit resurrection, you will see. Counterfeit worship, counterfeit rule, counterfeit miracles, and a counterfeit mark, 666. Look to the right on your page. You see the box. You'll see 3777. 7 represents God. It is the perfect number. 6 is one short of perfection. Or imperfect man. Here's the fact. Satan never created anything. All he knows how to do is copy. Now, he might have invented the first Xerox, but all he can do is copy. Copy, copy. Nothing real. Only God can create. You know what to create means? To make from nothing. And no, well, I picked up the dirt and made this from you. Well, you had the dirt to start with. No, God created from nothing, and he created everything. Revelation 17:8. The beast which you saw, now listen to this, once was, now is not, and will go to his destruction. Revelation 4:8. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Now listen, who was and is to come. For those of you who don't have a church home, you're within the Vine Grove area. You come see us, 408 West Main Street in Vine Grove. God bless you, and you have a blessed, wonderful new week.